This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Ksubis, tape number 3.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Tziona Bas Yaakov Makovsky, Zichrono Levracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This tape is in Masechta Ksubis, and it begins with the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis. And the Mishnah says, when a girl is a katana or a nara, a father can marry off his daughter to whoever he wants, via kesef, shtar, or bia. And the kedushin, kesef, belongs to him. So in other words, if it's kesef, the kedushin that he gets belongs to him. Also, anything she finds and all of her maisa yodeha also belong to him. He can be made for her nadarim, and he can be makabel her get as long as she didn't have nisuin. However, a father cannot eat from the peris of her property, for example, peris that she yarshined from her mother. Her husband, once he makes nisuin, is kainer and gets all the rights that the father had, but also has the rights to the peris of her property, which are called the peris of nichse melug. But in exchange for that, he must feed her, and he must bury her if she dies. Rabbi Yehuda says he also has to pay for the burial and the death music. And the Gemara says, this Mishnah goes both on a katana as well as a nara. The pasuk v'yatza v'haisa li'ishacher, this is a hekesh, and it teaches us that not only is kesef good to do the maisa kedushin, but both shtar and bia are also good to do the maisa kedushin. Daf mem zayin. If she finds a metzia, then it belongs to her father, not her, because of mishum eva, because it'll cause bad feelings, and then he'll refuse to feed her, according to Rashi, or he might marry her off to an unfit husband, which is the pshat of Taisus. The Gemara says it's possible that a father could make a wedding for his daughter on Shabbos and Yontif. Taisus asks, how is it possible to make a wedding on Shabbos or Yontif? You're not allowed to make a wedding on Yontif, since the pasuk says, B'samachta b'chagecha. And we learn from Chagiga Daf Ches, Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Taisus answers, either the Gemara means we did it on Erev Yontif, or on Rosh Hashanah, where B'samachta b'chagecha does not apply. The Gemara says that the father can accept a get after Erison, since we learn a hekesh from Yatza v'haisa, that just like the father has the right to marry her off, he has the right to divorce her as well. The father, however, cannot eat the peris of his daughter's own properly as long as she's alive. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, he can. We know that a ksuba normally has a value of 200 to a besula and 100 to an almana. But we also know that a man is allowed to write an extra money to a ksuba. This is called taisefes ksuba. He could say, no, not only will I pay the 200, but I'll give you an extra 500 if we do get divorced. And that is referring to the zman after Nisuin. They got married, they had a full marriage, they didn't marry now, let's say, for a year, and now they get divorced. So, of course, he's mechuyev to pay him both the 200, and he's mechuyev to pay him the taisefes, the extra money in the ksuba. The question becomes, what about if they only had erison? What is he mechuyev to pay? After erison, if there is a divorce, the man must pay her the ksuba money, the basic 200 or 100. But if he writes extra money into the ksuba, the taisefes ksuba, and there's a machlekes, if they divorce after erison, if she is entitled to this extra money. Since it's possible that he only wanted to give her the taisefes if he actually brings her into his house as a wife. That's what he had in mind. But maybe if he never actually brought her in with the nisuin, then maybe he didn't intend to pay the taisefes ksuba. This is a machlekes. The Gemara says after marriage, since he gets her maisa yadayim, the husband must give her mizaynis midaraisa. And since a husband yerishes his wife's property if she dies, he must also bury her. This is midarabanan. And if she is captured, he must redeem her. According to Rava, one must also provide his wife with clothing and marital relations, since without aina, relations, she'll suffer. That's considered inoy. Daf Memches. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that a husband must give his wife clothing according to her age. This is referring to certain styles and certain size, depending on her age and depending on the season. Because a young person wears different kinds of clothing than an older woman. Therefore, he has to take that into account when he buys her the clothing. According to Rabbi Yosef, a man is mechuyev to spend private time with his wife. If he doesn't, she can ask for a divorce. L'maskana, the Rambam says, mizaynis, begadim, and tashmish are all mechuyev, the husband is mechuyev, and then minatara. The Magid Mishnah says, mizaynis and tashmish amita are minatara, but begadim are only mechuyev midrabanan. The Ramban and the Ran say only tashmish is minatara, but all others are only midrabanan. Normally, if a husband has family minhagim different from his wife's family's minhagim, the wife must be oila to her husband's minhag, but is not yorid to the minhagim. But what about after she died? and they had a difference in funeral-related minhagim. It's a machlokes if the funeral for her must follow her family's minhagim or his. If someone became a shaita, Bezdin takes from his assets in order to provide his wife and children with food, clothing, and other things. Since these other things that it's referring to are either referring to fragrant spices or money for tzedakah. The Gemara says if a person says, when I die, I don't want to take money from my estate to bury me, i.e. wants his children to get the biggest Yerusha possible and expects the local burial society to handle the funeral, then we don't listen to him, but we do take from his assets. The Mishnah. A girl always remains in the reshus of her father until she has nesuin and chuppah. If her husband is a kain, she cannot eat truma until she has nesuin. In other words, once she has erusin, she's not allowed to eat truma until after she has nesuin. And the Gemara says, normally there are 12 months from erusin until nesuin. If the husband needed to postpone the nesuin after the 12-month period, after these 12 months, at that point, he still becomes mechuyev to feed her, and she is muteres betruma. Later, however, this rule was changed, and even after 12 months, she's not allowed to eat truma, because we're afraid she might accidentally give some of the truma, some of the grains, to her brothers and sisters, who are not kohanim. And finally, we say if a woman has had erusin, and the father gave her over to shluchim, to bring her to her husband, Mesira l'shluchei habal, she is considered in the reshus of the baal, even before nesuin. According to Rav, for everything, except truma. According to Rav Asi, even for truma. And according to Shmuel, only for Yerusha, for him to inherit her, but for nothing else. Daf Memtes. Once a girl leaves the jurisdiction of her father, even for 1 hour, even if the shluchim just took her and she never actually married into the nesuin, the father has no more rights to be made for her nedarim, and she'll never have the misa of skila for nara hamurasa, but she would only get chenek as if she's an nesua. The Mishnah. A father is not mechuyev to feed his daughter while he is alive. In Kerem B'Yavna, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshaned two things. Number one, a son gets a Yerusha from the father after he dies. And number two, a daughter gets Mezainis after the father dies. Gemara. Although there is no Chiev to feed his daughter, and Bezdin cannot force him, there is still a mitzvah for him to feed both his daughters and his sons. According to Reb Meir, one must feed his daughters, Kal v'chaymer his sons, so they can learn Torah. According to Reb Yehuda, the Kal v'chaymer is for the daughter, so they won't have to be embarrassed collecting money. But the Chiev is actually for both. Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika says, there's no chiyuv to support either. In Usha, by the way, is where the Sanhedrin went after Yavna. They went from Yavna to Usha. They made a takana that a person is mechuyev to feed his sons and daughters while they are ketanim. In fact, Bezdin can even force him if he's wealthy, since it's not nice not to feed children. Even the ravens, the birds, who don't like to feed their children, eventually have rachmanis and do feed their children. Therefore, a human being, of course, should feed his children. If a man is wealthy, Bezdin can force him to give tzedakah, so surely they can force him to feed his children midin tzedakah. In Usha, they also made a takana that if a person wrote all of his property over to his children while he was still alive, he and his wife still have the right to take mezainis from them. It's like there's still a little bit of a shibud. Even though he wrote all the property over, they still have the right to take mezainis. Dafnun. In Usha, they were also misakin that a person who's being free with his money shouldn't give more than 1/5 of his money to tzedakah, because he might himself become poor from doing this. 20% is from aser tas renolach. The double lashon of meiser is the maximum. 20% is the maximum that a person should give. The Rambam says 20% is considered a mitzvah min hamufchar in dealing with tzedakah. 10% is midas beinonis. The Shita Mikubetza says the 20% limit is only for aniyim. But for Torah, there's no limit if a person wants to support Torah, since a yisachar zvulun partnership is mutter to any limits, and a person could even give more than 20% if it's for that purpose. In Usha, they also said that until age 12, one should deal softly with a child regarding his learning Torah, i.e. deal by pushing Torah into him like we push food into an ox. But after age 12, then you're allowed to deal harshly with him. At age 6, a child should begin learning Chumash. At age 10, he should begin learning Mishnah. At age 12, he begins fasting on Yom Kippur. A girl begins fasting at age 11. A one-year-old who is stung by a bee, you give him the membrane of a palm tree mixed with water as a refuah. The Gemara says a child under age 6, if you push him in Torah, if he's weak, the Torah will weaken him further. But if he's strong, he'll have a good head start in Torah versus the other children in the class. In Usha, they also said that a woman who sold some of her nichsei malug while her husband was alive, and then she died, so me'ikar adin at this point, it shouldn't be taken by the lekeach. The husband gets to get it back. Rabbi Yitzchak says, he learned that this halacha, 40 times until it was in his pocket. In Tehillim, the Pasuk in Kapitel Kuvav, Ashrei Shemrei Mishpat, Aiset Tzedakos Bechol Eis, this is referring to the tzedaka of one who feeds his children all the time. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecharenu Lebracha, paskens that Bizman Hazeh, this is not considered tzedaka, but rather a chayv, since children today stay at home at a young age. They don't go to work. The Gemara says it's also a tzedaka who raises orphans and then marries them off. The Pasuk in Tillim in Kapitel Kufyud Beis, Hayin Va'osher Bebeisai V'tzidkasai Emedis La'ad, a person has fortune and wealth in his house and his tzedaka lasts forever. This is a person who learns Torah and then teaches it to others. The Pasuk in Tillim, Kapitel Kuf Chaf Ches, Urei Vanim Levanecha Shalem Al Yisrael, you will see children to your children and there will be Shalem to Klal Yisrael, is according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Since there will be grandchildren, there will be peace, since there won't have to be chalitza and yibam. You only need this if there are no children, but of course if there are children, you won't need it. Also, once there are grandchildren, there won't be a need for a din Torah for Yerusha, since it's clear who actually will inherit it. When there's no children, it's never clear exactly who inherits it, but once you have children, it's very clear who gets it. The Gemara says that the takana of ksubas benin dichrin is referring to that although the Yerusha of a father is divided equally amongst the sons, irregardless of who their mothers are, they made a takana that everything that was written in a ksuba goes to the children of the woman who that particular ksuba was written to. And just like ksubas benin dichrin is only collected from karka, not metaltalin, so too mezainis to the daughters only comes to be paid from karka, not from metaltalin. However, at a session that the Chacham had in the attic, they made a takana through Rav that daughters can even be supported, i.e. mezainis, from the metaltalin of their dead father. Others disagreed with this. Daf Nun Aleph. Even though we normally paskin like Rebbe, when he argues with Chaveroi, with one tana, so here we should collect mezainis for the daughters and the wife even from metaltalin, but here we paskin like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that we only collect from the Yerusha for mezainis, ksuba and dowry from karka, not from metaltalin. Today, however, we hold that since most people don't own karka, these things can be collected from metaltalin also. This is takanas hagainim. The Mishnah. If a person never wrote a ksuba when he married, a psula will still get masayim, and an almana will get mana. And even if he designated a cheap field, one that's only worth 50 zuz, and she agreed, he still must pay her the 200 zuz, because that's the normal amount that somebody gets. Doesn't matter what they agreed to. 200 is what she gets. A man is also mechuyev to redeem his wife if she's captured. And even if he doesn't write this particular thing in a ksuba, this is one of the automatic things that goes in a ksuba. He's still mechuyev. This is called pirkaina, redeeming a wife if she gets captured. Also, a man is automatically mechuyev in mezainis and refuah, whether he does or whether he doesn't write it into the ksuba, the Gemara. According to a mayor, if a man tries to marry a woman with a ksuba, he cannot do it, and the marriage may result in bias znus. This chiyav of 200-100 is a tanai bezdin that must be kept no matter what's written or not written into the shtar. There are five cases where a person to which money is owed can collect only from free property, i.e. it's still in the reshus of the person who owes him the money. He can't go to nechasim mishubadim that have already been sold to someone else. The Gemara says robbers who kidnap someone's wife, if after a while they are returned to their husband, then they're allowed to live with their husbands, because it's assumed that she had relations with the robbers. If she did have relations, it was mishum yira. It was out of fear. Therefore, since she couldn't control it, she's allowed to return to her husband. But if the kidnapper is a king, then she cannot go back to her husband, since according to Rashi, she may have done the act beratzen, out of anticipation that the king might make her queen. Therefore, we can't rely on the kula that she did it out of mishum yira. And since she may have done it beratzen, she cannot return to her original husband. Others have an issue with this Rashi, since why are we chayshish that she did it beratzen? We have a chazaka that B'nai Yisrael ksheir in him. So what are we chayshish for? She should be able to return to her husband because she wouldn't have done it beratzen. The Gemara says if a kain gadol marries an almana, although this is aser, if she is captured, according to Abaya, he must redeem her. But according to Rava, he doesn't have to. Daf Nun Beis. If a person marries a mamzeres or a nesina, this is also aser. If she is captured, a husband is not mechuyev to redeem her, because he shouldn't have been able to marry her in the first place. It was usser. If a woman was captured, and then the husband died, if the husband found out before he died, the yarshim are mechuyev to yarshin her. But if he never knew, the yarshim don't have to redeem her, since only a husband has a chiyev perkaina, not the yarshim. the chiyuv ksuba of perkaina, which is written the nusach in the ksuba of vinach liintu, does not apply to them. And the Gemara asks, what if she was captured and the kidnappers want an exorbitant ransom fee? The Gemara answers, he only has to pay that exorbitant fee once, but if she's captured a second time, he doesn't have to redeem her. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we never pay exorbitant fees to kidnappers because of tikkun olam. If you pay exorbitant fees one time, then every time they'll know they can ask for it and get away with asking for exorbitant fees. Therefore, mishum tikkun olam, you don't do it at all. The same way that the Yarshim must pay for the wife's foods after the father dies, they mechuyev to pay for refuah if she gets sick. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if it's a refuah sheyesh ba kitzva, a one-time charge, then they're putter, since it's not similar to mezainis, which is a daily expense. The next Mishnah. If a person didn't write specifically in the ksuba that your sons will inherit your ksuba if you die, ksubas benin dichron, the sons automatically inherit it anyways, because of takanas chachamim, this is one of the tanaim of the ksuba, automatically. Also, he's chayev to feed her daughters until they're married. This is again a tanai ksuba of Bezdin, whether he wrote this in the ksuba or not. Also, she automatically gets to live in his house if he dies. The Gemara. The Torah wanted daughters to get part of the estate, since derech ha'ish loretz acharei ha'isha. But the woman has no control over her destiny. And since it's a mitzvah to get married and have children, a dowry to the daughter will make her more attractive, so men will want to marry her. The ksuba not only includes the mana masayim, but also includes taisefes ksuba and nedunya. This is the dowry that she brings in. If the husband dies or divorces her, she automatically gets all of these, both the ksuba and the toisefes ksuba. But if she dies first, there is no ksuba, there is no toisefes ksuba, and the husband inherits the nedunya. And in fact, when he dies, everything, including the nedunya, goes over to the sons, specifically the sons that were her sons, ksubas benin dichron. Daf Nun Gimel. One should not get involved with transferring yerushas from one son to another, because you never know if their kids will be tzaddikim or rishayim. A woman is allowed to sell her rights to the ksuba to another person. In fact, she can sell the rights to the ksuba to her own husband. The Rishayim point out that it's usur today to sell a ksuba to her own husband, since it's like the ksuba ceases to exist once you sell it to him, and it'll be kal be'enav lahitziya. For this reason, it is usur for a man to live with his wife unless a valid ksuba exists. If a woman gives up her rights to the ksuba, she's meichel her rights, she loses her rights to the ksubas benin dichron, since she was mezalzel in the ksuba. However, if she desperately needed the money, that's why she sold it, we don't penalize her, since a poor person suffers very much, i.e. it's like being hit 100 times by a strap with a weight tied to it. Therefore, it's not really her fault when she did it, therefore we don't penalize her. If one aide comes from Medina Sayam and tells her that her husband died, then we say she's allowed to remarry, al pi eid echad, as long as he checks out very well. This is mishum iguna hikilu bei rabbanan. If she remarries, and then the first husband shows up, she must be teitzei mizeh umizeh. And the knait, tonight, ksubas benin dichrin, does not apply. In other words, the yarshim do not get the money. For an arusa, if one dies, the other spouse does not sit shiva, and if a kayin is involved, then he cannot be metama for her, because they're not really married. There was no nisuin that was done. A daughter who lost her father is allowed to get mezainis from the yarshim until she has erusin with a prospective husband. According to Rebbe Lozer, she gets mezainis till she's a bageras. Daf Nun Dalet. If a person marries a shnia la'arais, imai is considered an erva. Eim imai is a shnia. This keeps her from being over on the erva itself. The question is, does she get tnai ksuba or not? In other words, does she get mezainis after his death or not? And we say teiku. There was a difference in certain minhagim depending on the place regarding mezainis. Once a woman from Achuza, which is in Bavel, married a man from Nahar Dah. So they paskin like the minig from Nahar Dah, since the husband was from Nahar Dah, where they paskin like Shmuel that the sons can't push away the chi of mezainis. From here, the Rishayim learned that when a woman marries another man, she takes on the minhagim of her husband. And finally, we say that if a person died and said, give my daughter an ordinary nedunya, an ordinary dowry, and then the price of this dowry went down just after his death, the question is, who gets the extra profit? More answers, the Yusaimim get it. This marks the end of this perek. Now let us begin the fifth perek, Afal Pi, from the Mishnah. Even though we have a rule for the ksuba of 100-200, but if someone wants to give more, it's okay. That's called Taisefes Ksuba. A woman collects the ksuba money if she already had Nisuin, or even if she just had Erisin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, after Erisin, she'll get the principal of 100-200. but not the Tosefos Ksuba, since the only reason he added this Tosefos was because he thought he would mamish get to marry her. But if he doesn't get to marry her, he didn't want to add the extra money, and therefore she would only get the 100 or 200. 200 if she's a basula, 100 if she's an almana. Rameir says, anyone who gives less than the 200, 100, if they do live together, then it's considered like a BS znus. The Gemara. What's the chiddush of Tosefos Ksuba? Of course you can give extra. If a person wants to give more, why shouldn't he be able to give more? Our answer is, shalo levayesh mi she'ena shaloi. There's a question if Tosefos Ksuba is considered mamish part of the actual Ksuba itself, or just sort of something extra beyond the Ksuba, just sort of a PS, but it's not really part of the actual Ksuba. There are 14 nafkaminas brought down in the Gemara between these two things. We'll discuss three of them. Number one, if she sold or was meichel her ksuba, if it was considered part of the ksuba, so she sold this also. But if it was a PS, maybe she didn't intend to sell the extra part. She only intended to sell the base of the ksuba. Number two, prusbel. Normally during Shvius, all chayvis go away and are not due at all. Hillel was misakin a prusbel, and that you can create a chayv that isn't chayv to your friend, but chayv to Bezdin. And that doesn't get erased during Shvius. The only chayvis that get erased during Shvius are chayvis to people, not chayvis to Bezdin. And since a ksuba is considered a maisa bezdin, if this Tosefos is considered part of the ksuba, so Shvius would not erase it, because it's a maisa bezdin. But if it's considered a PS, then the Shvius would erase it. And finally, nezikin, we know normally collects from the idus, from the best part of a person's property. A balchayv collects from beninus, and ksuba collects from ziburis, from the worst part. So Tosefos ksuba, if it's part of the ksuba itself, then it would get ziburis. But if it's considered a PS, then it's like a regular balchayv, and it would get beninus. Daf nun hei. The Gemara brought down three machlaikas in between the scholars of Pumbedisa and the scholars of Masav Mechasya. These nafkaminas relate to a woman taking away property or metaltalin from the Nisayman. Does she have to swear or not? If a man says to two Edom, write a shtar and bring a friend a present. Once these two witnesses go and make the transaction, according to the Chacham of Pumbedisa, they don't need to consult with him before they write the shtar, since we say Stam Kinyan Liksiva Aymed, the transaction caused it to be chal already. But the Bnei Masa Mechasya say they do need to consult with him. Daf Nun Vav. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that if a woman was only an arusa, the Tosefos Ksuba he wrote in the Ksuba does not go to her, since he only intended to give it to her if they actually got fully married and they had the nesuin. Rabbi Yosef says the point of satisfaction is the chibas bia of the first night. It's interesting to point out that today we do chuppah even if the kala is a nida. It's an extensive machlekes rishayim on this subject in this particular sugya. The proper time for bia is not by day, but rather by night. The Gemara says if a person pays back part of his loan, Rabbi Yehuda says the original contract should be rewritten. Rabbi Yaisi says you keep the original contract, but the malva gives the leiva a shever, a receipt, for the partial payment. This isn't as good for the leiva, since if he loses the receipt, the malva could then go to Bezdin with the original shtar and reclaim the whole loan as if to say the person never paid him any of it back at all. Normally, one can't change the laws of the Torah with a tanai. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dvarim Sheba Mamein, a person can make a tanai that's against the laws of the Torah, and it would be Mekuyim. For example, a person should say, Hareat Mikudesh Esli, Almanas She'en Lecha She'er, Ksus Va'ina. He marries her, but he doesn't want to give her clothing, food, or relations. Rashi and the Rambam hold that Aina cannot be forgiven, since it's not a Dvar Sheba Mamein, and an obligation will stick anyway. Rameir argues and says that he can never do this whole thing at all. Very often the Rabbanan were more machmir in Gzeris Midrabbana than Gzeris Midaraisa, since naturally people are not mevatel things that are mina Torah. It's something from the Torah. Therefore people normally don't play around with it. But things that come from the Rabbanan, people sometimes say, you know, I can be makel on that. Therefore they need strengthening. Chachamim asu chizuk l'divrehem. Think about this when it comes to demai. Demai is something that has a suffix if truma was taken off or not. We're usually makel, since most Amei Haaretz do take off truma, and therefore it would not be considered something which Truma was not taken off of. Rameir says anyone who assigns less than 200 in a ksuba to a basula, or less than 100 to an almana, it's called a bi'ilas znus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it might be okay. According to Rabbi Yaisi, you can do this even lechatchila, and it's not considered a bi'ilas znus. Also, according to Rameir, a woman worries if she doesn't have a ksuba in her reshus. Therefore, a husband and wife are not allowed to live together without a ksuba. And if she loses the ksuba, the husband and wife have to write another one. And we paskin like Rameir when he decrees preventative measures. Hilchasak Rameir bigzei reisaf. As we see, we paskin on Eben Ezer, Simen Samach Vav Sif Gemel. Finally, we say Rabbi Yehuda holds that a verbal commitment of less than 200 zuzim to a besula, or 100 to an almana, has no validity. Rabbi Yossi says any condition, even verbal, as long as the woman consents, is valid. Daf Nun Zayin. It's a machlekes amirayim exactly when this machlekes applies. Rav Papa says that it's better to have two amirayim arguing against each other than to have two amirayim arguing about what a different amira said. Rashi explains this is true, since if two people are arguing with one another, they're really both right, since we say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This is the Gemara in Erevin. Therefore, really, they're both right, except that they're just arguing with each other. But really, they're both right. Masha ein kein in the second case, where two amirayim are arguing on what a different amira said, one of them has to be wrong because the other amira only said one thing. Therefore, that's not as good of a situation. The next mishnah. We know that there are two steps to every marriage. There's an erusin and a nisuin. It used to be back then there was a period of time, typically 12 months, between the erusin and the nisuin. Today we do both of those under the chuppah at the wedding at the same time. In the erusin, it's possible to do erusin either with kesef, with shtar, or with bia. Today our minig is to do erusin with kesef. When a man says, Hareat mikudeshes li b'tabas zu, kadash ma'isha b'Yisrael, the b'tabas zu is he gives her the ring, which has a value of kesef, and the erusin is chal at that point. Then comes the question of nisuin. What exactly today do we do for nisuin? There are a number of different shitas with this. There are Ramah paskins that nisuin bizman hazeh is the chuppah. The fact that they stand under the chuppah, that is the chalais nisuin. And that's what's called nisuin, standing under the chuppah. And this is in fact how we paskin. The Rambam and the Mechaber say that the yichud, which is haroi labiyah, yichud haroi labiyah, when they go into the yichud room, quiet together, and they're by themselves, that yichud, which is roi labiyah, that's considered the nisuin. Others paskin that the badeking, that's considered the nisuin. We paskin like the Ramah, that chuppah is the chalais nisuin, but we actually do all three of these things to make sure to be chayshish for all these different shitas. According to the Vilna Gaon, he has another shita on what nisuin is. He says that nisuin is when he actually takes her into his house. That constitutes a nisuin. The Magen Avram adds that it's best not to be mafsik with speeches, with songs, etc., between the birchas nisuin and the yichud. So one of those, once from the time that they do the Birchas Nisuin, which is the Sheva Brachas today, until they have the Yichud, they should try to get to the Yichud as quickly as possible. And there are many different nafgaminas between what a husband and wife are mechuyev to one another, between whether they've had Erusin or they've actually had the Nisuin. This includes, for example, Yerusha, of anything that belongs to her, Tuma, if he's a Kayan, so if they only had Erusin, he cannot be Metamefer. If they had Nisuin, he can be Metamefer. Hafaras Nadarim, he can only be made for an eder for someone if she was an Asua, not if she was an Arusa. Misa, depending what she gets, if she does Misa biznus, if she gets Skila or Chanek, depending on if an Ara Humurasa would get Skila, but everybody else would get Chanek. Achila bitruma, that only Truma Midrabanan is only Mutter if she's actually an Asua, not if she's an Arusa. Or the Chiev that a husband has to a wife to feed her Mizinus. That's only a Chiev if there was actually an Asua. The Mishnah we're going to learn here deals in sort of the no man's land. That there was sort of an Arusa, but she was really a little bit of sort of an Asua, because really he should have made the Nisuin by that particular point in time. And the Mishnah says, a Besula is allowed to have 12 months from the time of Erusin in order to prepare for the Nisuin. Once the 12 months is finished, they should really have done the Nisuin by that point in time. An Amana, however, gets only 30 days. Let's say the time came due. 12 months came, and now they should have done the Nisuin. And they did not get married because it's his fault. He said, you know, I need a little bit more time. So although she's really only an Arusa, because the Zman already came to do the Nisuin, she's sort of like a Nisua already. It's kind of no man's land here. So how do we paskin Lagabi all these different types of things? Is she considered an Arusa or is she considered a Nisua? If the 12 months passed and it's his fault and he wanted additional time, then he has to feed her and clothe her anyway, even though they didn't actually make the Nisuin. And if he's a Kayan, she's Mutter B'Truma. We know that an Arusa can eat Truma Midaraisa, but in Midarabanan, they asked her from eating Truma until the Nisuin. This is an exception. At this point, she's considered sort of a Nisua, and therefore she can eat Truma anyways. And the Gemara says, a father whose daughter is a Katana, he can marry her off, but it's better to wait until she's a Gedayla. Since when a man marries a woman, it's like he's Kayan her. That's why she can eat truma when she marries a kayan. Midaraisa, a woman can eat truma right after erusin, but midrabanan she must wait until nisuin, since after erusin we're afraid that she may share it with her brothers and sisters, or they may never have nisuin because of a mekach tais, mishum simpain, he might find a mum in her, therefore it would be considered like a mekach tais, therefore she should have never been able to eat truma in the first place. That's why we have to wait till after the nisuin. And therefore it would be like a zar eating truma, which is asr. Awesome.